In most cases, a company's main assets are its proprietary technologies, its supplier and customer networks, its good name, and its workforce. These are the assets that it can bring to bear in the fight against poverty, disease, hunger, and environmental degradation. In the case of extreme poverty, for example, companies should examine their technologies to identify those that can be of significant value to the world's poorest people. This might be medical equipment, high-yield seed varieties, chemical fertilizers, computer hardware and software, telecommunications equipment, trucks, financial service expertise, or more. In many cases, as with the antiretroviral medicines, the market prices for such goods and services are well above the marginal production costs, so the technologies could be extended to impoverished regions without jeopardizing the bottom line. Doing so will not only have minor immediate costs, but will also have enormous long-term market benefits by bringing the firm into new markets that may grow significantly in the coming decade or two. There is almost always a major problem, however, and once again, it is one that is familiar from the HIV experience. The technologies in question are often of enormous benefit only in conjunction with other goods and services. Computers might be great for rural schools, but only if there is electricity. Trucks might be vital for farm communities, but only if there are roads. Hospital equipment, of course, requires a hospital. Corporate philanthropy cannot be too complicated, or it can punish a company attempting to do the right thing. No private company can realistically be required to ensure a community's access to roads, power, schools, clinics, and the rest of the community's basic needs. A company is not a charity, nor is it a development agency. The company should be pressed to contribute, most critically, though not exclusively, by supplying their own technologies on favorable terms and provide the training and guidance in adapting those technologies and skills to local needs. My own somewhat serendipitous discovery is that business philanthropy works best as part of a holistic development effort, where many partners, including philanthropists, donor agencies, and private business, come together to make their mark. The HIV episode, ultimately backed by billions of dollars from the new Global Fund, was one such approach. In the Millennium Villages throughout Africa, a large number of companies have lent a hand, largely by focusing on their core competency in a network of like-minded and far-sighted businesses. Each of the following companies has helped to solve one part of the puzzle of extreme poverty in these villages: Yara for fertilizer, Monsanto for high-yield seeds, Sumitomo Chemical for anti-malarial bed nets, KPMG for financial expertise, General Electric for surgical equipment, Ericsson for mobile phone and internet connectivity, Novartis malaria medicines, Becton Dickinson for medical supplies and diagnostics. The list continues to grow. A special kind of cooperation, pioneered by the Gates Foundation, has been public-private partnerships, PPPs, around research and development, in which philanthropies support research costs carried out by laboratories and research scientists of major academic and private sector institutions. These PPPs have been established for the discovery and development of new medicines, diagnostics, vaccines, and other crucial medical inputs for major killer diseases, including AIDS, TB, malaria, and several parasitic diseases. In each case, market forces alone would not justify the outlays of R&D. There is no market to solve the problems of the poorest of the poor. The Gates Foundation, in partnership with cutting-edge scientific enterprises, is stepping in where markets do not reach. Companies should stretch in three ways. First, they should agree to focus on the Millennium Promises as part of their commitment. Second, they should work creatively to see how their particular technologies, networks, and expertise can become part of the solution. This process is one of discovery, in which the company works iteratively with on-the-ground problem solvers in different parts of the world. Third, they should agree to operate in places they've not yet reached. Perhaps they will not make much of a profit when they first open operations in Mali, Malawi, Tajikistan, or Bolivia, but they won't lose much either, especially if they enter these new places in partnership with other like-minded firms. The Millennium Villages Project and others like it offer a basic platform upon which each company can leverage its special role and can help this entry process enormously.